Okay, good evening, folks. We'll make it. You don't need to ever hear that, Piers. All good. Thank you. Good evening, folks. You're all very welcome to August's Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting. I'd like to welcome everyone to the chamber this evening. Hopefully everyone at home can hear me okay. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and use the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would like to remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial, significant, non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of a discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure that if you wish to speak on anything, either in the chamber or via Teams, to use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, folks, so hope everyone had a nice July. We got there a few weeks break, but we'll carry on with our items on the agenda this evening. Do we have any apologies?
Una McGuinness.
All right. Okay, we'll move on to item number two, declarations.
Sorry, Chair, I'm here online.
Thanks, Una. Any item number two, declarations of interest? No? Okay. Move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from an Active and Healthy Committee meeting on the 19th of June 2023. So we'll go through it page by page. So item page number one, page number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, page number seven, page number eight, on page number 9 and 10. Councillor Finn, you have a question? You just tell me what page number it's on.
Yeah, it's now page number 6, just in relation to Newry Leisure Centre and the swimming pool and the update on that. I just haven't received that yet, and I was wondering, could we get an update on that now?
Okay, Paul, that's yourself. No, against that.
Yes, yeah, there was a report taken to SPNR committee on Thursday the 17th, I believe, and I suppose the information from that report will be coming out sooner rather than later, and I can probably touch base with you directly in terms of an update date to that report.
I think the report's up there, and the minutes are up from SPNR just today, Councillor Finn, so if you want to really look at that, all right. So let me see, that's item number three. Item number four then is the Active and Healthy Communities Revised Terms of Reference. And again, that's yourself, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members will recall a terms of reference for the start of the new corporate year. A number of other committees have updated their terms of reference to reflect the new structures at assistant director level, and all this report is doing is the same, just to reflect the new structures at assistant director level for this committee, and the detail of that is as per appendix 1, and I'm happy to take any further questions if required.
Okay, thank you, Paul. All right, I don't see anyone in with any questions. I do need a proposer and a seconder, sorry, for item number 3, the action sheet. and for item number four. So can someone just propose and second those items, please? That's great. Perfect. And are you happy enough, Councillor Lee Searcher or Councillor Galbraith, for items number three and number four? Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Okay, so item number five then is the presentation for the Community Trails Outdoor Recreation NI, and we'll have Philip here this evening with us. You're very welcome.
Sure.
All right, you're very welcome, and I'm going to hand over to yourself now, all right, for the presentation.
Chair. Oh, sorry, can't hear me. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for having me this evening. This is normally presented by Carolyn Ferris, by our Executive Director, but unfortunately she can't be here this evening, so she sends her apologies. So I'm going to provide you with an update on and a review of the service level agreement for last year, so for 2022 to 23. For a bit of a background, so we've been working with active and healthy communities here at the Council since 2014 with the aim of helping to deliver on the objectives of improving health, wellbeing, community cohesion of the district of, as identified through community plans. You can all see that. That's good. So I'm going to go through each of the items of the SLA and just let you know where we have got to with each of the items and give you a bit of a description and a summary on the projects. Now, I haven't worked on all of the projects, but if you do have any questions at the end, I'll try and answer them, and if I can't, I'll come back to you. So the first item that we on the SLA, so develop a community trail management prioritisation framework for the council area, with the aim of helping or to develop, a planning tool to inform community trail development priorities, and it sets out a long-term plan for development aligned with government targets. And this is for access to green space, which agencies need to focus on in a way to help bring more households as close to the targets that are set by government as possible. The use of the framework allows the development of a long-term plan which can align with the targets, as well as targeting funding and understanding how best to distribute it in the future. Helps with management of expectations across communities, but it should never be used as a tool to say no, but will ensure greatest need can be prioritised if necessary. The methodology of the study is outlined there, trying to understand the current position, overlaying settlements, using GIS mapping and carrying out proximity and population analysis to allow us to prioritise for future development. And the framework is dynamic in that it will allow for modifications in targets as they change. So currently the target has changed recently to 900 metres for accessibility to green space with a target for 2050. And this can change as that target changes and as new trails come online. So this is the first stage that we carried out. So basically our proximity analysis was carried out by identifying the spread of existing community trails in the district. And you can see how they are spread across, hopefully by looking at that or through the map there. So this was then overlaid by settlements and analysis was carried out. So each settlement was then weighted based on proximity and population to prioritise future focus. So there's a bit of a lag on the button here. Hopefully you can see that. So each of the settlements were then colour-coded on the basis of the priority, with those in red considered the highest priority need, as they were not within 400 metres of trails. And those... Oh, sorry, I can't see that screen. And those within green that have good access to green space within their area, within 400 metres. We then consider the settlements of highest priority. We consider those to be those that do not have any trails or trail provision within a 5 kilometre radius. And within Newry-Morne and Down, these appear as two main clusters and an outlier that are occurring in areas with limited existing accessible green space. And this also accounts for cross-border trail opportunities into other council areas. Once we've done this, so scoping exercises and engagement with local communities will be required to identify opportunities for trail development in these areas, either finding solutions or exhausting options. And trails that satisfy a need for priority one settlements should be addressed first, followed by priority two, three, and so on in that order. No trails proposals are off the table for consideration, and it's just that where decisions are to be made, rational justification can be made to pursue one trail development opportunity before another. A list of outputs has been provided to council as an Excel database where prospective trail projects are aligned with settlements and placed in a priority order with the population weighting applied. And this database also includes information to inform recommended next steps for each proposal. And these would be through the standard project delivery framework. So they could be from scoping study, feasibility study, concept design, application for funding, all the way through to delivery, or even where they cannot be proceeded at the time. So item two was the extension of the community trail at Corrie Wood. And our requirement here was to apply for planning and secure planning permission and take the project through delivery on the ground. So planning permission was secured and specifications were developed. However, at this stage, project delivery is on hold until the availability of funding. With item three, which is the extension to the car park at Drumcaira and some trail upgrade works, it's a similar situation where the procurement documents have been completed and the specifications completed and the project delivery is on hold until availability of funding in the future. Item four, project development work of a further four community trails to shovel-ready status at Taconnet GAC, Bright GAC, Jackson's Folly and Glendesha and Glendesha Link, also known as Carriv. So concept and specifications have been developed and planning permission has been secured for two of the proposals and at both GACs and in progress for the other two sites. Project five was the project development work of a pump track in Islands Park to shovel-ready status. And this project was taken through to feasibility. However, it was identified, sorry, I forgot, fingers crossed. However, the project was identified as unfeasible due to flooding constraints. Item six is the project development work of a water access facility at Jane Shore. Again, to shovel-ready status. So the concept and specifications have been developed by ourselves with the support of an engineer, and planning permission for that project is currently in progress. Item seven is the feasibility study on beach accessibility across the council area. So the aim of this project was to complete an assessment of all the beaches in the district in the context of accessibility for those with disabilities, their families and carers. So it included assessing council's current provision of beach access, making recommendations for prioritisation of investment in beach access going forward. For this, inclusive was the aspiration to which the study was undertaken, and where full inclusivity could not be achieved, recommendations were made to make beaches more accessible for more people. Accessible, whenever we're talking about that, we're talking about defining obstacle-free physical, be it natural or built, environment to mobility aid users. And inclusive means accessible to all. We based our benchmarking on Cranfield Beach, which in 2019 was launched as an inclusive beach by May Murray Foundation, with changing places facilities, step-free beach access, equipment and storage, including beach wheelchairs, floating chairs, beach walkers, and a calendar of inclusive events. So this map is the study area. So it's not every single beach within the council area, but it would be the main beaches that would be visited by the wider population. So what we did is we carried out a baseline review and we tiered each beach into tier 0 to 3, where 0 was considered a flagship beach. Tier 1 was considered an inclusive destination. Tier 2 was a local access accessible beach. And tier 3 was a beach that had limited accessibility. So basically they range from beaches that exhibited best practice to a beach that may be attractive but does not have supporting infrastructure or favourable topography to allow for safe access to all users. So this is a map showing the current accessibility on the basis of the previous tiering. And you can see that there are no flagship beaches. However, Cranfield is the only what would be considered an inclusive destination. And that the majority of beaches suffered from limited accessibility. So what we wanted to do was, what we wanted to do was to try to improve that situation and provide a development plan for future development for council. This map shows the aspiration for accessibility among the beaches within the study area. Only sites with the potential to see the right or to achieve the right physical environment, programs, resources, communications were prioritised for development. The correct and complete approach should ensure that a fully inclusive experience at multiple attractive and accessible locations is possible. So, for example, just briefly to touch on a couple of beaches. So Minerstown, so due to a lack of existing and potential ancillary provisions and environmental sensitivities, it was not recommended that Minerstown Beach be prioritised for future development in the context of inclusive access. Whereas Newcastle Beach currently benefits from accessible parking, toilets, a ramped access point. This infrastructure, together with its location paralleling much of the main street, means it's a prime site for future development as an all-inclusive beach. Additional recommendations within the report focus on management and maintenance, with recommendations for a cross-departmental beach access steering group within council, development of a strategic beach access forum for the council area facilitated by council, and development of a participation programmes and equipment loaning programme, for example, in partnership with Maine Murray Foundation or Disability Sports NI, as well as a strategic approach to communication. And an action plan is also provided within the report for indicative, with cost estimates for indicative purposes. Item 8 was a review of sea swimming at Newcastle Harbour. So we were commissioned to carry out a review of sea swimming at the harbour to see how access to the water could be improved for sea swimmers. This was in response to growing safety concerns and requests from local sea swimming community. And this was due to a number of issues, including user conflict, congestion, incidents, multiple activities, intense use of Slipway B, which I'll show in the next slide, for minor infrastructure that would improve the safety and experience as best as possible for those users. Sorry, just waiting on the slide. There we go. So apologies for those at home. I'm just going to use the pointer here. So this was the Slipway B. Well, this is the whole of the Newcastle Harbour area, and where I'm pointing is Slipway B. So for those at home, that's just to the left-hand side of the RNLI station, between basically the blue door and the wall. So it's a small slipway, runs parallel to the north pier wall, and the site, as you can see, is quite extensive. But most of our concentration was on that Slipway B because that's where most activity happens. Key issues with regards to the site are the multiple activities. Lots of things going on, wastewater treatment, the Harbour House Inn, protected monuments, lots of swimming activities, lots of activities like paddleboarding, jet skiing, fishing, boat trips, etc. And also lots of landowners, Newry Moreland Down District Council, Newcastle Yacht Club, RNLI, Department for Infrastructure, private landowners, and the Harbour House Inn and the South Prom. So lots of issues that go with this site. So through the study, we carried out consultation, lots of one-to-one consultation with key consultees. Sea Swimmers Survey, where we had 84 responses. Sea Swimmers Meeting, where we had 13 people attended. And we identified that basically the difficulty is that council is not the main landowner. Therefore, it's acknowledged that there are a number of solutions that could facilitate progress at the harbour. These are grouped according to hierarchy, as you can see in that diagram, and whether they apply to Slipway B or the harbour as a whole. It's all relative. Underpinning all of these, and indeed all of the future progress, are the fundamentals, which are deemed to be critical to the success of the future of the site. So this is accepting the harbour as a shared space in one entity, agreeing a vision and plan for the harbour as a whole, and partnership working, with all partners collaborating to achieve the vision. And this is a step back at the site from to basically look at it from a collegiate approach. And this will require establishing a joint harbour management group comprising all partners involved in the direct management of the harbour with a genuine appetite to work together, developing a master plan for Newcastle Harbour, where Slipway B and all other slipways and services are seen as individual parts, are seen to be integral and to be effective in the functioning of the harbour as a whole. To inform it, the above, it's advisable, or we have recommended that the council undertakes the following work to help it understand the importance and the role of the harbour facility within the wider agenda of economic regeneration, tourism and community development. And we would recommend that this goes hand in hand with a coastal access and water based recreation strategy and an updated tourism strategy. So the last item within our SLA was the data collection for all community trails. That's at 14 sites that we've delivered to date. And that's an ongoing monthly visitor count at all sites. And that's a fly through of the SLA to date. I just put up my contact details there. If anybody wants to send through an email with any queries, I'm more than happy to take any questions from anyone.
Thanks very much, Philip, for that very comprehensive report. I know in my own area we're very blessed with lots of outdoor trails, Corrywood, Bunker's Hill, so a lot of work has been done, but I can see here we have a few councillors eager to get in and ask you a question, so maybe take two or three at a time, will that be all right? So, Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I've actually got a couple of points regarding the different items on the agenda. Can we go with them all or do you want to take them?
If it's just on the presentation, if that's okay, and then we'll take item number six, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's kind of the same, isn't it, though, in terms of...
You happy to do that, Paul, or
see the questions?
Yeah, we'll go ahead with the questions. Okay. I think these were purely for Philip on the presentation, and then can be taken because items number 6 and 7 may have questions and they need to obviously propose and second and stuff like that, Laura. So go ahead with the questions. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we'll take it as it comes. All right.
Nice to meet you in person. I know we've spoken on the phone a few times. I've got a couple of queries, and I know obviously I totally get the identifying where they're on community trails, and that all makes sense. But I know we discussed before Tipperary Wood in Newcastle and also around Loch Island Reevey in Kilcoo. Now, again, I know that they're not featured in the main priority. I know potentially Tipperary Wood might have been with ART, but there was some drainage work being done by yourselves. Is there a wee update maybe in terms of those particular projects? I'd like the corner.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Is that okay? So Loch Island Reevey, I would need to revisit and see where it features in the hierarchy. No, it wasn't one that was identified last year or within the last SLA. We would need to, and it hasn't been, we haven't identified trails going forward through the framework yet. Don't think though that it is in the high priority area whenever I look at the map. With regards to Tipperary Wood, so yes, you're correct that we have been working both with Action Healthy Communities and ERT on the development of an accessible trail trying to link, is it Kinghorn Road?
Kinghill,
sorry, through Tipperary Wood, basically in Diamonds Park. And we are progressing that, so we have just had our flood, we're currently going through a flood risk assessment. We had to redesign a section of the trail due to that area being a high-risk flood area. But it's progressing well, and we're hoping to get it in planning within the next couple of weeks. So that would be, and that's just a link in from Kinghill down to the main road there.
Okay.
But yes.
We like good news. That's good news.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's good news. Good news. Yes.
So. Absolutely. Okay. That was that one. And then the other couple are regarding the seesaw. I might have taken them in the next section. Roisin, that's fine. Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you. Well done, Philip, and your local knowledge there too. Thank you, Helen. What a call. Well impressed with that. Councillor Lee Sergeant, do you want to go ahead?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if this question actually relates to this sort of links, and then I'm thinking maybe Paul can answer it. But basically, thank you for the great presentation. It's very insightful and informative. Regarding the aspirational accessibility beaches, will this presentation basically expedite council policy when it comes to beach accessibility for all? And will it deassociate the current strategy of changing places toilets and the changing rooms for those that are differently able from the general district-wide toilet strategy currently sitting in Sustainable and Environment Committee?
I want to go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Essentially, this will help inform council's position on beach access across the district. A lot of what the findings of the beach access framework is pretty much reinforcing some of the work that is already ongoing, which is including the work with Inclusive Beach at Newcastle. I think what's important as part of that beach access framework is that not every beach will have the ability to become an inclusive beach. And I think that's important to note, but we know that certainly we have one in Cranfield. We have aspirations and through the public toilet strategy, hopefully plan to deliver one in Newcastle. And I know through the ERT section and the capital program going on there, we also have an aspiration to deliver one at Torella Beach as well. And I suppose what happens is this beach access framework reinforces that information, and that's probably where we'll continue to go with that on those particular projects.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
That's great. And got one more insightful question. So you identify some areas in Rwallan marked red where the villages there don't have access to a community trail within 400 meters. So what happens to those villages as per your current plans? Thanks.
So this is sites that do have trails within 400?
It was one that was marked priority one red. So places like Dar Cross, Derry Boy. It was earlier in the presentation. They were marked red alongside with villages on the Nuri side. But because there's a larger cluster of them in the Nuri side, they were obviously your plan to have community trails. So just wondering what happens then to places in Rwallan, where you haven't identified the current policy.
Yes, sorry, I'm just trying to familiarize myself with the map. So yeah, they're effectively, so what we had stated was that we have prioritized them basically priority 1 to 5, and we will work on priority 1 trails initially. That's the slide there. So you're talking about Derry Boy, Dara Cross, so they would be priority 2 trails. So what we'll do is we'll work on priority 1 trails first, and we will either develop or exhaust all of the options there. And once we have done those, then we'll move down to those areas, because the areas that have been identified with most need are the ones that have no trails within 5 kilometres. So we need to focus on those areas, because as you can see, there's those three main clusters that were shown in the next map. So those are the main clusters that we need to focus on, and there is a real lack of trails in general in those areas. So that could be for a reason, or it could be just that it hasn't been explored enough. So priority 1 trails, but it is a case of we will eventually get to those ones, and we would love to see all of this map with green dots everywhere at the end of the day. That would be the ultimate aim.
Thank you, Philip. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you, Chair, thank you, Mr. Weston, for the presentation. It's always good to hear from you, and I know you commented that Ms. Ferris couldn't be here, but if you would send her our regards, that'd be much appreciated, Mr. Weston. Listen, I suppose the thing is, I could talk all day about these things, because it's really, really good. What is really good as well is just seeing the development and the aspiration. I know that sitting here, we are very lucky at the very start. Sleeve Krube was able to get a lot of the first trails, but just seeing how they've developed across the way and where they need to be developed across the way is great. I suppose just two quick questions. I looked with jealousy at the big red, long red line that goes from Portadown to Nuri. That's class. And you know, I know that the scope of all these trails was not only just having the trails in the community, but then linking the communities as well. So I'm just wondering, is that on the agenda? Is that any scope to be going for? That's the big thing. And then just also the wee thing was just the, you mentioned the visitor numbers. And I'm just wondering again, what's the crack there? I mean, how are the visitor numbers going? I mean, we know, for those that would be in touch with the MHT, we know how the visitor numbers are going and post COVID and all the rest of it. And again, there's probably a bigger question, sort of how we are interacting with the outdoors. And I suppose actually that would lead me to a final question. It's probably more for the officers than it is for yourself, but, you know, the talk from Outdoor NI always does generate quite a bit of discussion, quite a bit of enthusiasm. Is there scope for a bigger workshop on this or something like that? You know what I mean, in the future? Just because again, it always seems such a positive thing, and we all know the attributes that it goes that goes with it. But again, yeah, those are the three points, Mr. Weston. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. I'll pass on that your wishes to Carolyn when I see her next. I'll answer your third point there first by saying apologies, but I don't have any of the visitor figures with me today. But I'll speak to Paul. I'm not sure if Paul has any handy. Do you, Paul?
Yeah, I can maybe give a quick update to that off the top of my head. Obviously, our performance indicators every year highlights our community trail usage, if you like, in it. We know that during COVID, we've seen a huge increase in numbers, over 200,000 across the district using the 10 trails, I suppose, that we have identified. And whilst I think we're up to about 215,000 in any given year, and the latest performance indicator that councils will see when those statistics get submitted as part of council performance indicator groups. But that's the sort of numbers that we're talking, and that's grown exponentially as we've built more trails. And so I'm not sure whether COVID also helped a wee bit, give that a bit of a push to go further as well. But yeah, they're really well used, and it's a great asset for the council.
Yeah, and we would agree with that. All the feedback that we get for community trails that we do in Newry Morning Down and across the province all have excellent feedback, just purely on a measure of health and wellbeing, and I suppose changing mindset for getting people out and walking and cycling more. With regard to your question, I suppose regards the community trail networks, I suppose the framework, the aim of the framework, it should never be a tool to say no, but we need to target the highest priority needs, and those three clusters are where I suppose the focus needs to be initially. That's not to say that if a trail comes up, or a trail proposal that's well progressed comes up, that can't be investigated or supported in any way by the council, and any ideas, I suppose we would always encourage to come forward, because you don't know where they're going to lead to, but the framework allows for a priority or prioritisation of those areas that are in most need. I think that's all answered.
I think that's it. You happy enough there, Andy? Paul, you want to come back in?
Yeah, Andy, I think just there was councillor. I just think there was another query you had about a wider workshop for discussion, yep, and that sort of thing. So the community trail development plans are related to the 7 DEAs. The DEA is the forum for those development plans to have those discussions, and Philip and Outdoor Recreation and I regularly attend those, and will continue to do so, hopefully if the new SLA is endorsed.
Thanks for that, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you. I had one question I forgot to ask. Would you indulge me, or am I going to get cut off?
No, Andy. Only for your sleeve crib. Go on. Quick.
I was just going to, just a quick question to Mr. Weston there, just about, does it need to be publicly owned lands for the trails to go across, if that makes sense? I know you've done work in the past with out the country there in Fermanagh, I think it was. So it's just, you know, I think you probably know what I'm getting at. You know, if it was more the fact that does it have to be publicly owned land, because there'd be certain areas that you might find receptive potential for trails. Anyway, thank you, Chair.
Publicly owned land is obviously a lot easier to work with. But we have examples like you mentioned in Fermanagh, and even in your own district, for Tíobh na Dara. And Seaford, where it's privately owned land. But we would always ask that, you know, the communities that want to develop trails in private land try to, I suppose, get a good foundation and progress agreements, in principle agreements, as much as possible. And then council can assist with entering into any formal permissive path agreements, et cetera, or whatever options are available out there for that particular plot of land. So public or private are both welcome. But obviously private has more hurdles. And more potential issues and constraints.
Thanks, Philip. Councillor Tinley, I think you have a question in there.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether Philip or Paul will be able to answer this, but I'm hoping between the two of them somebody will. In April last year, Chairperson, this is about beach access. So before the ORNA report was commissioned, I had requested that beach access or additional beach access on the Restrever Promenade be looked at, and I took it to the AHC director, and I was redirected to the ORNA study, and I was told that that was the most appropriate place to raise it. Now, that was to reflect sort of the exponential growth in sea swimming. And Town Meomwy is no different than any other town or village along the coast. We literally have dozens of people who now swim 364 days a year, some of them 365, but very disappointed to see it hasn't even warranted a line in that 92-page report. So I don't know whether I did speak to someone in ORNA pre the report, the beginning of the report being commissioned, and I was assured it would be looked at and included in their findings. I'm disappointed to see that there's nothing, not a word. So was it looked at, and if it wasn't looked at, why was it not looked at, and where do I go now that, because it hasn't been included in this? Because that's two summer seasons have passed since I raised this at AHC, and I was diverted and told to wait on this report, and now we have the report and there's nothing in it in reference to the matter I raised. And thank you, Chair, for letting me in on that.
Councillor Timley, thanks very much. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be very helpful here, and I can't answer the question right now, as I wasn't involved in this particular study. I do know that it was mentioned previously, and I know that you did speak to my colleague while the study was being progressed. However, I'm not sure as to why it was excluded from the report, and I'd be more than happy to follow up with you on this, if that's okay with yourself. And I'll try and find that out for you as soon as possible. I can certainly get your details from Paul if you're happy for that.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Finlay, thanks for your query, and you're right, I do recall you talking to me specifically about that. I'm not sure of the detail. We'll talk to Fiona, and do you mind if we talk to you in a separately about that and come back to you about the individual slipway that you're talking about? Or
yes, fine, Paul. Yeah, thank you.
I think just on that point, I think just to agree with Councillor Tenley, I think it is important to recognise, I know there was just mention of Newcastle, you know, Harbour, I think the beach access, I know it was raised there, you know, significantly, there was a PowerPoint presentation, but I think we have to remember all the areas, you know, that sea swimmers are, you know, and it is important they're included right across the report as well there. Councillor Clark, you're looking for a comment.
Thanks very much, Chair. And thanks, Philip, for the presentation. Councillor Devlin touched upon Tipperary Wood and the connection with Islands Park, linking up the Tully-Brannigan area, you know, and hundreds of people being able to get a safe route into the town. But positive news, putting the planning application in regards to Newcastle Pump Track, that's in the same sort of area, Islands Park. Disappointed, you know, because it's in a floodplain. This is despite, you know, millions of pounds being provided to put in flood prevention schemes in the Islands Park and Tipperary area. I'm just sort of worried, you know, with the application going in for Tipperary, for it's an environmental improvement. It's leisure. That it'll come back the same, that this is in a floodplain. Just your thoughts in regards to that. Have you got any discussions in regards to Rivers Agency, and also in regards to the planners as well, in regards to this application going forward? Just in regards to inclusive beaches, are we allowed to talk about you?
I think because that comes up, I think I've already, Councillor Devlin was looking to come in on that. I think item number six, Billy, if you want to make comment, if you want to wait till it comes up, because it is... more reports just on there, and I think it would be fair if we just leave it until item number six. That's okay.
Right. That's fair. And thanks, Chair. And I suppose the point I'm getting to, you know, I find it ludicrous that the pump track was not appropriate for that area, considering the amount of investment that's been put into place by Rivers Agency. You know, that a leisure facility cannot be built there. You know, we've car parks, we've playgrounds in that area. You know, why... You know, what is the big reason why that wouldn't be allowed to go in? Because Newcastle, because of the tidal issues and because of the floodplains, you know, any land, you know, that is outside the floodplain goes for development. And even trying to get development land is very, very difficult. So if we don't get these pieces of land, you know, it's going to be very difficult to put environmental and leisure improvements in that area. Just your thoughts maybe on that, Philip.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So I suppose to start off with regards to the pump track in Island Park. So a colleague is leading on that. However, I'm aware of, I suppose, two issues that I can come back to you just to clarify anyway. But one is to do with the issue of drainage. So whilst you may be able to construct the pump track for leisure purposes, the issue that you will have is that the water won't be able to go anywhere because that is an area of a floodplain. I'm also aware of another issue with regards the development of, I suppose, what can be considered a children's play facility within a floodplain is against current policy, I think. But I can double check all that and come back to you anyway, Councillor Clark, just to confirm exactly why. And then the trail is considered differently within policy and the provision of recreation facilities. So we should be submitting this into planning, and we will be carrying out the currently carrying out the flood risk assessment, and then we will see what the response is from Rivers Agency as that progresses through.
Thanks for that, Philip. Just to come back and getting the water out of, you know, the pump track, that could be facilitated by a double valve into the flood defence wall, what we've done in various recreational areas right throughout Newcastle. So I don't see that should be the stumbling block.
If you allow me to obtain the correct information, and then I'll send you a response, Councillor Clark, with all of the constraints. And if we want to discuss further, I'm more than happy to have a chat with you about that.
Yeah, that's fine. And have a discussion about, you know, other sites maybe that might be suitable for the pump track.
Yeah, we'd love to explore any other sites, any other opportunity. We'd love to see one being developed. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Philip, I suppose whenever you read the report and the prioritisation, as you've touched on in community trails, can you just sort of explain what that means for those that are in flight already? I'm not one to miss an opportunity that Downpatrick DAA gets its fair share. And obviously Bright and Deconnet are both within that DAA and have planning permission. But does the prioritisation of these areas now affect how they progress, or will they continue to progress in identifying funding and getting them delivered?
So the prioritisation, as I mentioned previously, it should never be a tool, I suppose, to say no or hinder progress, but it should be, the idea should be to try and prioritise. So any trail, for example, with regards to Bright, GAC, and any other trail going forward, I think they can all be looked at sort of on a case-by-case basis, but as much as possible, focus should be made on priority one settlements. As best as possible.
I suppose, Philip, some of the ones that you're saying as a priority one don't even have planning. Should we as a council not be proceeding with those that do have planning in place, that are shovel ready, that if funding comes up and they're eligible for the funding, that they surely would be prioritised to proceed rather than go get planning and be delayed by probably months, as we've experienced in some areas? I'm just trying to understand, you know, these clubs, particularly Braden and Deconnet, have worked extremely hard, one with yourselves and with councillors, to get to this stage, and it feels now that they're being shelved in a way because we've identified there's other areas that need these, but clearly these two areas needed them as well at the time that we did the whole concept design, get planning permission, but now we're saying that actually they're not a priority. It just doesn't sit well with me.
Councillor Sharvin, I'll maybe try answer that just quickly, but you're right. You know, we are in a bit of a transition period in terms of the prioritisation to be able to, I suppose, identify which trails are or aren't priorities. I suppose the positive thing for those particular trails that you mentioned is that they have planning permission, first and foremost, and council
can look at different options in terms of how we progress that. I think one of the challenges we always felt we might have with those particular trails was around matching the likes of the TRIPSI funding in that, and we were hoping that Sport and Eyes funding pot might be able to come and support something that was essentially a trail around a Gaelic facility or a football field, et cetera, and as opposed to linking villages. So I think we're always going to be challenged a wee bit with external funding applications with that, and we're always hoping that Sport and Eyes capital investment were going to come to the table at some stage. I've since found out that doesn't look like it's going to come forward until probably next year in terms of how they prioritise their capital investment. But we can certainly continue to work towards the delivery of those, whether that with the community, with Orney, with a range of options.
Thank you, Paul. Councillor Hanlon?
I just want to endorse what Councillor Sharvin's saying in terms of those particular trails, because I know both clubs have worked extremely hard, as Gareth has said, to get the planning, and surely, you know, we should be looking to prioritise them. I understand around the challenges around funding and external funding, but I mean, there's funding coming, for example, from the SEUPB stream, which I do believe includes community trails in it. So I do think we should be supporting the clubs and exploring any options available to try and get these trails over the line. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. I totally agree. If we can support them where possible. Paul, you want to come back in there?
Yeah, listen, we totally support the Council's views on that as well. With any community trails that we've delivered thus far, the majority of the Council's funding, a lot of the time, is about getting these shovel ready, getting these to this point, and potentially providing a match funding aspect, usually the minimal side of the match funding. And, you know, that's something that we can look at going forward, particularly for these projects, because we are in this interim arrangement in terms as we transition, if you like, to a prioritisation plan. And I take the Council's point about when we got planning permission, et cetera, on these. And so we can certainly work through developing something up in future SLAs moving forward.
Okay, thank you for that, Paul. Okay, well, Philip, I don't see anyone else with any more questions. I think that's that part of the agenda over, so that's item number 5. So you are staying with us now for item number 6, I do believe, as well. Members of the committee, can I just also highlight that items number 16, 17 and 18 on your agenda tonight will now be taken in open session, they'll not be taken in closed session, and I will be tabling those items after item 9, if that's okay. If everyone's in agreement. Not getting any dissent, so is that okay? All right. So we'll move on to item number 6, and that's the community trails update. And that's yourself, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Council's obviously considering the presentation that you've just had. I suppose I'm asking for Council to, I suppose, endorse the report, which is approving the agreed appendices 1, 2 and 3, which reflect the prioritisation plan, the beach access framework and also the Newcastle Harbour Swimming. So that's what we're seeking approval for tonight.
Okay, Paul, thank you for that. I see Councillor Devlin and Councillor McMurray is in with questions. If I could just indulge just as Chair, I highlighted just on the last item, just number five, with regards to the sea swimming. You know, I think it is important. I know Jarlath touched on it there, and so did I think others. I know, I'm sure Councillor Evans is going to come in on it as well. But the likes of Caliph, the likes of Trella, Ballyhornan, you know, are areas that we should be including as well. A large number of people, I suppose, with COVID have been taking off sea swimming. So I think it might be important that we include that, you know what I mean, in the report or have a look at that as well. And the second thing is just with regards to Newcastle Harbour, you know, it's not just the sea swimming. There's a whole collective there of things, you know what I mean, sort of ongoing, not just one issue. I know that myself, I'm Councillor Clark and Cathy Mason, MLA, and Chris have been working on different issues just to explore different things within the harbour, floating pontoons for disability access and something like that. But we were told that wasn't possible, you know, so I think we need to be looking at how we can facilitate this sort of, and if we can't, well, why can we not? Other areas can, so we need to be looking at that. And then the other thing is, I noticed just going through the report with, I suppose reading, you know what I mean, it's quite a comprehensive report. I got a feeling of deja vu because this, I think, came up to me whenever I was chair of ERT. So it seems to be like if it's been done in bits and pieces and not been taken as a sort of a holistic approach. And it does actually mention that the lack of vision or the lack of a holistic approach, that the lack of a master plan, the lack of a harbour management plan. And I think that's something that we need to look at as a whole, you know, for that area. And I know, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think we need to take it to the next stage. I know that yourselves have been working with ERT in the background, but I think as councillors we need to see that. We need to see some movement on that. And I would like to propose that, you know, that if a task and finish group would be established, you know, including the councillors from that area, including businesses, local stakeholders and stuff like that, there to take that master plan forward, because, you know what I mean, I think it has to be a matter of priority. Like, I know Conor will allude to this as well. Myself and Councillor Hannah met with the Down Triathlon Club last week. They're also looking for access, beach facilities and stuff as well, so for sea swimming. So I think we need to look at it as a whole, and I think, you know what I mean, we need to be looking at it, especially Newcastle Harbour, as a holistic approach. So that's just from my own point of view, sort of sitting here looking at it, having sat as chair of two committees, Paul. But I'll bring Councillor Devlin, because I'm sure Councillor Devlin has much more to add to this. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. So I suppose just wanting to welcome the report and thank Orny for all the work that's went into it, especially to Fiona. I know that we had walkabouts, we had face-to-face discussions, and we engaged with many users, many have been named in the report itself. So clearly a lot of research and work and effort has taken place, but you sort of still feel from reading this report that we aren't massively further forward. I know, Roisin, that's exactly what you just touched upon there. We knew the situation up there is complicated due to land ownership issues, and they've been identified very clearly in the report. It was due to these complex issues that I had actually raised my initial request in the first place. So I support the conclusion that a harbour management group is formed. But I suppose my question is how soon that will happen and who will take the lead on that. And then secondly, the issues at the slip there are very well rehearsed. I would like council to look at other locations to access the water. I still believe that if council were to create an area that had benches, some hooks, perhaps a couple of changing huts, you would entice some swimmers away from the slip. Not them all, but you would definitely entice some. So suppose that's a question for Paul. When I'm finished, you know, do we consider that aspect forming part of the recommended coastal access and water-based recreation strategy that we're talking about? And if so, how soon will that work commence and, I suppose, more importantly, be completed? This report clearly says, and I quote from the report, sea swimming at Newcastle Harbour has the potential to bring many economic and social benefits to the wider Newcastle Harbour and Newcastle town. So we know its value and its potential. So the council, we do need to be doing more. And then I suppose, Chair, I would also like council maybe to consider as a part of our estimates for next year, a lifeguard for the harbour for next summer. It would only be needed during times of high tide. But I mean, I know that I have documented this on many occasions. I have grave concerns about the safety of our young people during the summer at the harbour. I think that's why I know that Jarlath and yourselves had raised other access to beaches along the coast. There's a very specific safety concern at the harbour here because of the conflict, the many users that exist there. So that's something maybe that I would ask that we, I know I'm not asking for an answer now, Paul, maybe cost it out and things, but if that could maybe be looked at. And I know Fiona will know from our discussions, and I do see it's mentioned in the report, and don't worry, I'm not getting into discuss about the rock pool, Paul, and we'll get your head tortured about that, but it is in the report, and I accept that it's a separate issue, but many of the sea swimmers raised it in person with us that day with Fiona, and also it's in detailed in the report itself. You know, we have no real safe place for children to swim, so I feel that a lifeguard at the harbour, or the pier, sorry, wouldn't cost an awful lot of money and would help in the interim until such times as we have the rock pool redeveloped. So I know it has to be cost out and things, but I'd ask maybe that's considered internally and something's brought back through, whether it's the estimates committee or whatever else is needed in terms of moving that forward, because it's not just access to water at the harbour. If you're down there on a busy day, I think I remember the planning committee one morning, actually, you had a site visit up in King Street and we were all watching down. And I know in the report there it said 30 to 40 people swim per day. I would still refute those figures. I mean, particularly during summer times and good weather, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people jumping off the pier, which is brilliant to see. But there's definitely a safety concern. And I've had that documented before, and maybe some way of us doing a lifeguard on down the line. But just to thank Philip for the report, there's a lot of detail in there, but it does still feel that we're not really making a lot of progress. And I get that we have to get the governance right, which is the bottom strand of that all. So suppose maybe just timelines, and to go back again, Paul, whether you feel that that would be addressed in the access to the water strategy on down the line, and do we have timelines for that as well? Is there some way? I hope that's not too much, Chair, all in one go.
No, not at all. Very valid point that there is, Councillor Devlin. Paul, would you like to come in, or do you want to take everyone?
Yes.
Yep, no bother. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. I think a lot of points that have been raised already, but I still want to chip in behind a good bit of them. Again, first of all, thank you for the report on the sea swimming. If there was one thing that I wish I could do more of, it would be a bit of sea swimming, to be honest with you. Although my nephew compared me to a blue whale there at the weekend, so I was a bit taken aback by that, but that's sort of, I'll have to work through that myself, so I do. What you said, Councillor Howell, I thought was really important there about holistic approach, not just to the harbour, but just, again, you mentioned, you rhymed off a whole pile of places there that people swim in, and we have, you know, there's other areas within our own DA, not just as well as open sort of open water, but it's also inland water too, which, again, you know, we should do that. We should be thinking about this. And again, you know, as I sort of quit before, we've been here for 45 minutes talking about more than that now, nearly an hour, talking about outdoor recreation and sort of the issues that it poses, and also the, you know, it does get people enthused. People want to endorse it. People want to get behind it. But yet, it doesn't really seem to be a sort of a focus group within this council that sort of takes this stuff on. And again, I mean, I was planning to mention it, but again, I think this, you know, the conversation we've had tonight just is a proof in point that, you know, there does need to be, I think, some sort of set-aside group. I've raised it before in council through motions and all the rest of it, set-aside group that looks at these things. Again, I know that I am totally getting sidetracked, Chair, so I will go off, I will stop on that, but I think that is something that needs to be noted and acted upon. Councillor Devlin does make the point. Councillor Devlin tactfully skirted around the point, but maybe that's, I'll not be so polite as such or so tactful. I think we'll have to take in the rock pull the account of this. I mean, it was mentioned there at the back of the sheet, you know, about the rock pull, Councillor Devlin, and I think you're dead right. You read that report, and jeepers, oh, if you went down there, you could be committing trespass at least once, if not three times, by the different people that own around the harbour there. So I think you have to, I think you're dead right. Maybe not so sure about the whole, again, as an outdoor police instructor, I have a slightly different perception of risk than maybe Councillor Devlin has, but certainly I do think, you know, that the rock pull has to be taken into part of any solution. Sometimes, you know, these things nudge you along in ways that maybe you weren't expecting. I could go on and on here. You know, there's codes of conduct that were mentioned that was really, really good. How we talk about zoning out the recreational commercial issues is really, really good. The VSG, the Visitor Safety Guidance, is very, very good. There's so many positive things, but I do just think it all needs teased out further. And I suppose that brings me back to the final point, is in what are we agreeing to this, if that makes sense, Chair, because I think everybody agrees that the reports are entirely comprehensive, the reports are entirely positive, but again, it's how do we actually get action upon it, how do we progress this onwards. But again, I don't want to necessarily agree to something that whenever there's issues that are highlighted, that we then get sort of railroaded down a particular area, because again, as Councillor Devlin wanted to mention but didn't mention, so I'm going to mention it for, you know, the issue of the rock pool, you know what I mean? I'm just concerned about that, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for the indulgence.
Thank you for that, Andy. You're okay. And again, very valid points that you're making there. I'm going to bring in now Councillor O'Hare. I know that seven IT issues this evening, so you're working through Aidan's laptop. Go ahead, Councillor O'Hare.
Yeah, just on the beach access report, again, I know this is something many of my colleagues have been working on. It's a very welcome report, but I want to ensure the capital is ring-fenced to deliver the recommendations, as it seems to be a small amount of capital is needed. I think this report needs to now go further and a timeline now to be developed to deliver it, so I'm happy to second Roisin's proposal.
Pass and finish. Yeah. Got, okay, thank you, Councillor Hur. Councillor Clark, I'm going to bring you in now.
Thanks, Chair. Most of the stuff has been touched upon, Chair. Just in regards, I suppose, to the seawater swimmers, it is a very comprehensive report. But because of the landowner issues, I think we knew we were going to end up this stage. You know, I think ERT are leading on in regards to the regeneration and the management plan, and about setting up that management forum. I think that's key because there's all the stakeholders in the harbour area, along with elected reps and other stakeholders, the harbour, you know, heritage group, and other stakeholders will be involved in that. So there needs to be a set of urgency, and I know it's a different department, but there has to be a sense of urgency in regards to that. If we're saying outside the service level agreement with the yacht club, which I think I proposed over 6 months ago, you know, we're still haven't got any information in regards to that. Does the seawater swimmers not want to avail of that, or is the yacht club, you know, not making the offer to the seawater swimmers? So that should be pretty quick to find out. We should find that out, because that would be a solution, particularly during the winter for the sea swimmers. But I think the greatest urgency is, you know, let's get on with what was in the RT report. You know, and I'm sorry, it's a different committee, but it links in. You know, all departments need to work together. We need to link the two piers up. We need a boardwalk linking the north pier and the south pier so people can use, you know, the generator house, which is going to be refurbished into a community hub and a water sports hub. You know, so them two piers need to be linked so people can use them. As councillors, back in the day, we secured that generator house from NI Water for public use. So, you know, them two particular issues should be, you know, resolved very quickly. As I said, I don't see any plans in regards to the setting up of the forum, the management forum of the Newcastle Harbour. So I think that, you know, between directors and assistant directors, then discussions need to take place to move this project forward. Because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit there that's available, and projects would make a real difference to people, particularly linking the two piers up. I think that has to be a priority moving forward. In regards just on the inclusive beaches then, you know, I fully agree with the report that Newcastle Beach is now, you know, it's ready, for the inclusive to allow people with disabilities to get onto the beach. In 2019, I brought a motion to council in regards to this topic. You know, I'm 23 now, so that gives you an idea how long this process is going on and the frustration of people with disabilities and families trying to access the beach haven't been able to do. Now, in another committee in regards to the talent strategy, we're now going to introduce change in places at Downs Road car park and hopefully have that finished by 2024. This proposal needs to run alongside in tangent with what's happening with the toilet strategy, and we need to be ready for 2024 to have disability access onto Newcastle Beach. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Willie. I'm going to let Paul come in now with his answers to all those queries and questions.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, councillors, for your comments. I think it's important to reflect that these documents are documents we didn't have and didn't have a foundation for, and I think this is a foundation that we can build off to move forward, hence the approval of this report. As some councillors have mentioned, as per the recommendation of the beach access, the harbour swimming, setting up that harbour management forum is key to this, and by endorsing tonight's committee report, that puts that in motion, and for me that'll be a priority because, as Councillor Clark has mentioned, this is across departmental, this is across all councils or a number of council committees, and that's probably the forum that a lot of that can be discussed. I know that Outdoor Recreation and I did a lot of consultation with the ERT directorate and also the consultant appointed to look at that Waiba Harbour Master Plan. So some of that work's already if you like, started. And so we believe that's really, really important. We're happy to bring a report back also on any further engagement around the wider beach access issues that were raised. I think it's important that this report reflects and reinforces some of the work that Council does plan to do on the wider scope of things. But if we could maybe bring a report back to follow up on some of the comments that have mentioned about, I suppose, we see something across across the district, if you like. I am conscious that Council is not the only statutory agency responsible for that. And, you know, we work real closely with a number of key partners about potentially how we can look at that and across the board, as opposed to just maybe in terms of sea swimming around Newcastle and those sorts of things as well. So if the councillors would be happy with that proposal. Happy to take any questions.
I suppose, thank you for that, Paul. And again, I'm only speaking here, Chair. Feel free to come back in if anyone wants to. But I think the overriding feeling that I'm getting specifically from the GA councillors within the area is that this needs to happen ASAP, you know, sooner rather than later, because we're sitting at the end of the season. I know sea swimming is all year round, but, you know what I mean, it's important that it happens, you know what I mean, sooner rather than later. I see Councillor Murray's back in with another question. I don't mind, Councillor Devon, if you want to come back in, or, you know, I'm more than happy to take you back in again just on this matter, because I think it is important that we do get it pushed on as soon as possible. Andy, do you want to come back in there?
Yes, sir, I do thank you, Chair, just again, but I can't help but just reiterate the point, you know, that, and I certainly don't want to slow this up, if that makes sense. And but it's just, you know, there, we have touched on a whole pile of issues that are wider just than the harbour swimming, if that makes sense. I'm just wondering, you know, when I said about the wider issues, were they just words in the wind, or again, are we going to go after that, if that makes sense? Certainly setting up the task finish group, I think it is important to keep it moving forward, and I have no problem with that. But again, I just can't help but feel that, you know, again, once again, we're going to be end up reacting to issues of an outdoor recreation nature in this council, rather than actually, you know, having things set in stone to lead on, if that makes sense. And I mean, because there's so many other issues. I mean, I could have wittered on. I didn't even touch on the beach access, which again is incredibly important. But again, we have had issues with the quality of the bathing water and such like that. You know, so on the one hand, we want to encourage people down to the water. With the disability access, but some of these people here maybe are immune deficient or what other issues going on, and you know, we have poor water quality and poor ways of communicating this. So it's fantastic, but there's just so many other things that are going on with this, Chair, and you know, as I always say, you need 41 councillors to keep the council in check. And, you know, as you can tell, this is a, I mean, I love outdoor recreation. It's my passion. But I just think sometimes that it sort of, it goes by the by sometimes, Chair. And I am slightly, disappointed in that sometimes, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Andy. Well, I suppose then it's up to us as councillors to keep this moving forward and to keep the pressure on and to make sure that this is pushed on. Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, and not to keep coming back in again, Chair, you're very good. Committee, I know obviously it's to go to full council in September to be ratified, perhaps maybe just after that meeting, if as Warren's councillors, we get a timeline for when that group will first meet and sort of what sort of timeline that there's going to be going forward would be one request. And then secondly, are we going to, do we need a seconder to look at the lifeguard situation for next year, or is that something that we can just proceed with?
The lifeguards for beaches, if you like, sit under the ERT directorate, and so it has to be raised directly with them, and we're happy to pass that over to them.
But that's been action from here, from today, is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy to second that proposal, Councillor Devon, for if that's
thank you, Richard. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, so we can take it from that then that this is going to be moved forward and you're going to bring a report back, is that right? Next month?
We will bring a report back to the council where we will take on the feedback, if you like, that is that councillors have all raised, and we'll bring that report back. But I think something that we certainly are hearing is about certainly engaging this harm management group sooner rather than later as well. And hopefully the following report will detail that, but also the wider issue around beach accessibility and outdoor recreation.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for that. I actually need a proposer and a seconder for the item, so if I can have someone to propose it, please. Councillor Devlin, happy to propose. Have someone to second it. Councillor McMurray. Sorry. Councillor Lee Sargeanar, sorry, apologies, Andy. Okay, so we're going to move on then to item number 7, which is the Community Trails Outdoor Recreation NI Service Level Agreement 23-24. And that's again yourself, Paul. Sorry, apologies, Philip. You're good to go. Not a problem. Thank you again. I'm sure we'll be in touch. Okay, Paul, so it's over to yourself, item number 7.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be used to this report coming on an annual basis. It's in relation to the SLA with Outdoor Recreation and I that we have in place most years. And the Appendix 1 outdoors details the SLA, and I suppose we're looking from this committee approval of this SLA to be able to put that in place. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, I have a proposal from Councillor McMurray. Andy, you have a comment as well?
Yeah, no, just wanted to thank Mr. Wesson, but I think you saw him slipping out the door there. He's a very wise man, so he was. And again, always happy to propose or second this this paper, because, again, as we've seen, the amount of good work and the amount of benefits that said community trails and knowledge that outdoor recreation bring. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Lewis, you're happy to second and you have a question. Go ahead.
Yep, Grant. Thank you. It was just to say thank you for all of the work that has been done to update that. I know that the people in Slieve Croob really appreciate and use the community trails there, which is we have, and that they don't just that they're not just something that is done over you know, the night that you have actually put an awful lot of work into it and all that investment and stuff. So thank you for that. It was just to check under this new SLA, would there be scope for scoping out new walkways or new trails, or has that all now closed?
Through the chair, no, it's not closed. Obviously, from the previous presentation, you'll realise there was a prioritisation plan. At the end of the day, through your DEAs and your community development trail plans in each DEA, you can always put forward proposals when these SLAs are in place with Outdoor Recreation and I. And again, they'll become part of that prioritisation plan as they keep coming forward. So there's still an opportunity to do that.
Thank you, Paul. And perhaps that's something then, Councillor Lewis, we can ask to go on to our next DA forum. Will that do okay? Okay, so if we're happy enough, then we'll move on to item number 8, which is the notice of motion, inclusive and accessible leisure facilities. This was a motion brought by Councillor Sharvin. So I'll let Paul speak on it first, and then Councillor Sharvin, I'll let Ian pass comment, okay? Just speak first. Sorry, apologies, Councillor Sharvin, you get to speak now. Go ahead. I can't believe that I missed that on Thursday night.
Well, no, I think you're right, Chair, because the item was tabled at the previous committee meeting for a report, and they and I said that I wouldn't comment given the lack of detail in the report. So I'm happy for Paul to go first and then me to throw everything at him once he says it. So.
I guess. Okay, well, height of civility here. Paul, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Sharvin, for your comments. Getting a few things thrown at us tonight, but that's fine. Listen, this is a really important notice of motion that was brought forward for by Councillor Sharvin in terms of inclusive and accessible leisure facilities. as officers, we take this very seriously, and you'll see by the detail of this report, there's a number of things that we're currently moving forward on within the department to help improve these, not least improving our and extending, where possible, our swimming tuition program to those with disabilities and autism groups, etc. And we're still working through a couple of those things. We've put a current funding application into the Para Sport, looking at a 12-month round funding program for disability swimming. And there's a number of other things that council are working on that are put down, and other really good stuff that we're currently doing in our sport and leisure directorate to help improve these things. So I suppose the report is to note that we, and reconfirm, if you like, that council are committed to ensuring all facilities are inclusive and accessible for everyone in our community. And I'm happy to take any questions from Councillor Sharvin or any councillor.
Okay, Councillor Sharvin, do you want to come in with all the questions now?
Yeah, I suppose I'll start off and firstly say thank you to Paul and Sinead and the team on what is a very detailed report. And it does show, as Paul rightly says, how important staff have taken the motion, and also how sensitive the subject can be, particularly to those with disability or autism. But also to the parents and guardians of those that have that disability. But I suppose just touch on a few things. It's great to see that Autism NI was involved in the training, and the training is going to be organised. And one of the questions that I have around that, Paul, is you do mention about prioritising swim teaching staff, which I think is the right thing to do. But will their training be bespoke, or will it be a generic training that they're going to receive? Secondly, then, Chair, only last week our local autism group had the swimming buddies in, and the feedback that has been got from that experience is outstanding. A mother who has a 14-year-old who is non-verbal, struggles to interact, typically is asked to leave, actually got to enjoy swimming because the coaches were so experienced and able to handle the situation and get the child involved. And that's really what the hope of this motion is that everyone that wants to experience swimming or any experience across council can be enabled to do that. Then thirdly, I think it's great to see that the progress of inclusive one-to-ones, be it by council, be it swim tutors, is continuing. I think that's really something that we should be applauding ourselves and trying to address the imbalance at the moment. But one of the things Paul touched on is obviously funding and applying for funding in the Para Sport programme. And hopefully we are successful, but one of the things that I would say is it is useful to avail of funding, but we as a council ourselves have our own budgets, and they should be utilised also. So we can't always put the onus on funding or external funding or groups even to go and identify funding like the swimming buddies through the autism group coming in. What are we as a council? You know, if it is unsuccessful, what's our plan? So what we've applied for, are we as a council going to fund it? And it may be that in the future, if the outcome of that application comes back to this committee, and that we as a council are then asked potentially to fund it if we're not successful. So, Chair, I just want to reinforce that I really appreciate the work that's went into this. I think this is only the start of one track in a modern how we're progressing as a council, and maybe, you know, we should checkpoint quarterly or even half annually to see how we are measuring up to being inclusive for everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, just through the chair. Firstly, Gareth, in relation to the training, it is bespoke training for the swim teachers.
And then Disability Sport NI is going to do a wider training generically for all our leisure staff in December. There's actually a paper on about leisure closures, which relates to being able to facilitate the likes of that staff training. In relation to the Swim Buddies program, and I suppose we've also been engaging with them, and we're looking at our options and identifying, you know, what are the costs to do these if unsuccessful. We are hopeful of being able to secure that funding. However, we won't know until down the line a wee bit further. But there's other statutory organisations who also have a responsibility or a remit, if you like, to deliver this, and we continue to engage with them. And for us, something delivered in partnership would be really positive. And so we'll continue to engage in those avenues, but certainly we'll look at the detail of that, and if funding is unsuccessful, we'll bring a report back.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Councillor Mathers, you're looking in.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I welcome this report. The spirit of the motion is that we train up our own staff to do this work, and that's very important. However, it is recommended in this paper that swim lessons can be given by private tutors. Does this not go against the spirit of the motion?
Thank you, Chair. Our current swimming tuition program, or should I say disability swimming and swimming tuition specifically, is a very bespoke requirement and need in terms of the number of coaches and staff. It's often done on a one-to-one basis, one to two, one to three, and working closely with our partners and Sport NI, Disability Sport NI, and certainly our autistic groups, that's how they would like to see that delivery. We can't deliver, under our current structures, we deliver at 1 to 10s, up to 1 to 20s, and we also need exclusive use for a number of these sessions, as we do, as you've seen, we've put into play the autism swim sessions, which are an exclusive use session around distractions and those sorts of things. And our hope is that we can deliver that by council, depending on the outcome of this funding. That is what we plan to deliver, is those small, low-ratio swimming tuition lessons in an exclusive use environment, and block out those times in our centres. So we do hope to deliver it through partnership funding, depending on that. So I hope that clarifies.
Okay. So I need a proposer and a seconder for that item. If I can have someone to propose then to Councillor Devlin. That's happy to propose. And just if I can have a seconder, please. Councillor Murphy. Thank you. All right, so item number 9 on our agenda tonight is leisure closure days. And that's yourself again, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that this report is an annual report, if you like, and it identifies closure dates for leisure facilities that relate to bank and public holiday arrangements, but also in terms of our staff training arrangements and being able to utilise closure days to be able to ensure high levels of adherence to some of the key training and mandatory training that we're required to deliver for our staff. So therefore, the recommendation as per in the report is to approve these and agree these leisure closure arrangements as per Appendix 1 of this report.
Thanks, Paul. Councillor Lewis, were you looking to come in and comment on that?
Chair, it was supposed to be under item 7, but the laptop looks a bit slow, sorry. It was just a point to raise that the rugby club in Ballinahinch is actually in Slieve Croob and not in Rowan there.
That was under the community trail?
That's it, yes. Yeah, so it was just probably one of just, you know, so it was losing a big lump of my land there.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Okay, so if I can have a proposer and seconder, if there's no one that has any comment for the leisure closure days. Item number 9. Councillor Murphy has proposed. I'm happy to second that, Donna. Okay, I'm now going to move on, as I outlined at the start there or earlier in the meeting, that we're going to take now items number 16, 17 and 18 in this part of the open session. So I'm going to start with item number 16, which is the expressions of interest leasing council land. Is that yourself, Paul, or Connor? Paul, well, you're taking it.
Well, no, I'm just
sorry.
I'm swapping agendas around now, Chair. I've just got to catch up on my reports. But council will be aware, members will be aware of council's sport and community facility leasing policy. And as outlined in this report, we've had an expressions of interest from a group. And as per that policy, we're looking council approval to progress with, stage one of that process, which looks at a wider public of advertisement of expressions of interest, to allow, leasing of council land. So as per the recommendation of the port, we're looking approval to, commence and start that process for the land outlined in the report.
Okay, so I see Sarah has put in there item number 16. I need a proposer and a seconder for that, if possible. Councillor Mathers, go ahead. You have a question there.
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to the proposal, I'd like to know, can a community or a voluntary group that currently have a council lease of land extend it in regards to additional space and metres rather than having to go through the full expression process, as this would save council costs for adverts, legal review and officers' time? Thanks.
Sorry. Do you mind if I come back to you, Councillor Madison, and just clarify?
Can I just ask everyone to mute there that's not speaking? Thank you.
I'll let Connor Hawkey come in here and help respond to it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just probably to repeat, sorry, Kira, what Paul has said, we probably need to come back to you on that, Councillor Mallers, but if a community group or sports organisation have already been through the express of interest process, particularly if there were only one show in town that came in and they weren't in a competition with another group, then it would make sense then for us to just go back to our legal team and see, can we extend the actual footprint of the current lease from a legal point of view and adjust the lease accordingly. But we need to take guidance from legal on that and come back to you.
Thanks.
Are you happy enough with that, Aidan? Yeah, okay. So can I have a proposer and a seconder for item number 16, please? I haven't got anybody for... It's for 18 and 7. Oh, right. So, Aidan, are you happy to propose? Or, Councillor Murphy, are you happy to second?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yes, go ahead, sir, certainly.
So, the reason for bringing item 16 up, when we looked through the reports today, we realised that actually it didn't need to be held in closed session, and that's why we brought it out of closed. We're trying to, as per the discussions at SPNR on Thursday evening, it has been asked that officers look at the reports as they're coming in and try and establish whether they actually need to be in closed session or not. And after looking through this one today, we decided that actually there was no sensitive information in it. It makes it a bit messy now in terms of the agenda. It's hard to hear myself coming back. But it's kind of the way that the process that we're kind of going to be following, I think, going forward, to try and make it more transparent and open as the councillors have asked for.
Thank you for that, Sarah. I'm excited to AHC would be the committee to do it, isn't that right? Of course, yeah. All right, so if we move on, then we're happy to move on into item number 17, which is the Community Coordination Hub update report. Is that yourself again, Paul? Yeah.
Yes. Members, you'll be aware that this is a regular report brought to this committee that updates the committee on the actions agreed as part of the Community Coordination Hub. Happy to take any queries if required on that.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy, were you looking in on that? I know. Okay. I'll need then a question from yourself, Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you. It's just in relation to the update on refugees and asylum seekers, just on the point that there's potentially not going to be a Ukrainian assistance centre in Uri, but there was no update from the Executive Office, just to check whether there's been anything further on that. And also just to say, it is I suppose, disappointing that the welcome hub that was held in the leisure centre, nobody attended. And I just wanted to ask if there's something potentially that we can do as councillors to better get that advertised so that people within the community feel welcome. Because I know certainly across the district, it's something that I think is really important, that we need to be making sure that we're having people welcomed and that they know that those facilities are there for them.
No problem, Councillor. Thank you for your input. As you know, Ali Robb's not here tonight, so I'm going to get her to come back to you directly on those two key points. Is that okay?
Thank you. Okay, so I need a proposer and a seconder then for items number 17. As proposed by Councillor Finn. And seconded by Councillor Galbraith. Thank you. Okay, and finally, number 18, that's the additional funding from the Department of Communities for Frontline Advice Services. Again, Alison's not here, Paul, so that's yourself.
Thank you, Chair. Every year, Council set out as part of its race estimates process, part funding of support to deliver on frontline advice services. This year we have managed to get additional monies from the Department for Communities, and as part of our arrangement we're looking at utilising Council's contribution and cost towards that for inputting the additional four extensions and representations that you'll see that have been outlined in the report. So essentially this report is just to approve that transition.
Okay, Councillor Finnegan, you had put in that you were looking to comment and propose this item. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to welcome the additional £135,000 in funding from DFC for the Community Advice Services. These groups do vital work for the most vulnerable in our communities, but have been badly impacted by a decade of brutal Tory cuts. While this funding is welcome, we need an executive up and running now, with all parties working together to support hard-pressed workers and families and our most vulnerable who are struggling with the cost of living crisis. But very welcome and happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Devlin, you were looking into comment.
Yeah, I suppose just a second. Aoife's proposal there. Roisin, you know, we know times are so tough out there, but on that front line, the work that the Citizens Advice do is absolutely incredible. It's one of those things that unless you're involved in it, you wouldn't have a notion what they do every single day. If we look at over the years between welfare reform, COVID, the cost of living, cost of doing business, all the pressures that people are under, they're there on the front line between Rosemary and Julie and the whole team there doing incredible work. So I'm more than happy to support that proposal, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Yeah, and as yourself and Councillor Finnegan outlined there, I suppose on our own area we're blessed with the people we have around us doing fantastic work, so it's very welcomed. Okay, now we're going to move back to the main bulk of the agenda, so that will be item 10 now, if that's okay. So that's the DA Forums update report, including the appointment of independent members to DA Forums.
So, sorry, Chair, just again, the report and Appendix 1 for this are in open session. However, Appendix 2 is in closed session, so it's just to remind members, if you were wanting to discuss anything on Appendix 2, we would have to go into closed.
Okay, so we're going to take item 10 and then we'll go into closed session and do the Appendix 2, if that's okay. So if there's any discussion, sir, I'll keep us right, okay? So this is just in being transparent. It's in open. So, Paul, is that yourself then for item number 10?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I suppose aligned to the new council term, the DEA forums appoint their independent members to the DEAs, and this report is just, I suppose, to endorse that. And as mentioned, the detail of the appendixes in closed session. So we're just looking for approval to progress that.
Okay, so basically, let me see. I have Councillor Councillor Devlin on the committee, and this is on item number 10.
Regarding anything in committee. It was just more a comment, Chair. As you recall, at last month's council meeting, I had a notice of motion regarding young carers. I didn't actually know, I think, until I read this report that Downpatrick, obviously your own sleeve crew, DA, had that carers' fest, a social day for young carers. So just to acknowledge that, to thank you for all that work. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. And Councillor Lewis, you're happy to propose item number 10. Is that right? And if I can have someone to second, Councillor Devlin, is that you happy to second then, Councillor, item number 10? Okay, so then Councillor Andrews, go ahead.
Yes, thanks so much, Chair. And I know I'm not a member of the committee, but thanks for the opportunity for bringing me in. I know before we go into committee and regarding the independent members of the DEA, for I'd like to take this opportunity to thank those independent members who have served on in previous terms. I'd just like to place on record our appreciation for the time that they took out of their own lives to play a part in each DEA fora. And I think, if possible, that a letter or something from this council should go to the former members to thank them for their input. And I'm not too sure whether the mechanisms are in place, and maybe the full committee could take that on board. But I think they've done a good job. Thank you.
Go on. Oh, yeah.
Councillor Andrews, I'm sure we can talk to the DEA officers to endorse it.
Yeah, Councillor Lewis is happy, I think, then to propose that, as Terry's not a member of the committee, and I'm happy to second that, or Councillor Devlin is happy to second that, as via the DEA chairs, I'm assuming then. Is that okay? All right, so we're now moving on to item number 10, Appendix 2, that will be in closed session, so I'll just read out. So items number 10, Appendix 2, to items number 15 will be taken in closed session. These items are deemed to be exempt under Paragraph 3 of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014, and information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council holding that information and the public, may be a resolution excluded from the items of business. So I need a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please. Councillor Devlin has proposed. Councillor Lewis has second. Let's give it a few. Okay, so whilst in closed session, the following items were agreed. Item number 10, Appendix 2, appointment of independent members to DEA forums. It was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Devlin, to approve the recommendations of the assessment panel in Appendix 2 of the officer's report in respect of the appointment of independent members to DEA forums. Item number 11, leisure maintenance and servicing contracts. It was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Declan Murphy, seconded by Councillor McMurray, to approve the additional spend on servicing and maintenance contracts as per section 4.1 of the officer's report. Item number 12, fitness equipment, maintenance and servicing, public tender. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McMurray, seconded by Councillor Declan Murphy, to approve the following. 1. The business case as per Appendix 1 of the officer's report for fitness equipment, maintenance, servicing and software upgrades and approve procurement via a public tender for those services and supplies. 2. To progress a public tender in line with Council's procurement policy, appoint a preferred bidder and enter into a contract for up to 3 years. Item number 13, programme delivery partner. It was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Lee Surgner, seconded by Councillor Declan Murphy, to approve the additional spend as outlined in 4.1 of the officer's report. Item number 14, procurement of metal fabrications. It was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Declan Murphy, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgner, to approve the spend for metal fabrication works as per section 4.1 of the officer's report. Item number 15, Newcastle Centre, external painting. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgner, to progress external painting of Newcastle Centre as per 4.1 of the officer's report and to approve the business case as per Appendix 1. Now we're going to move on to the following items on the agenda, which are items number 19, 20, 21 and 22, which are for noting. I need a proposer and a seconder for those. Councillor, proposed by Councillor Lee Surgner and seconded by Councillor Lewis. And Councillor Finnegan, you're looking to come in and comment on item number 22.
Yes, please. So just a couple of notes. Did the local community have any input into the types of educational programmes for residents, perhaps through consultation with local groups? And if not, I feel that it's important this does take place. The Areas at Risk programme should complement the DEA action plan, and the DEA forum should agree the content of the courses offered. Some of these programmes are already funded through the areas of need, but they have additional charges for participants. Therefore, the demographic in which these programmes are aimed cannot afford to go. So can we lift those charges, although the charges are fairly small, just to lift those charges to make sure that the people who need those programmes delivered to them are able to go to it? Thank you.
Okay. Welcome you back.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Finnegan, I think it's a very good point about them, you know, having to have their own input into what gets delivered in the areas. The Assistant Director for Community Development isn't here this evening, and I'll get her to come back to you directly on that point.
Okay, Councillor Lewis, you're looking for a comment as well there?
Thank you.
What item was it on, if you don't mind me asking?
Sorry, item number 19.
Okay, that's the Police and Community Safety Partnership Report. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'm currently now off the PCSP, but I've thoroughly enjoyed my time there. I would like to thank the staff and the council team, which we have there, that they do a great job. It was just to sort of ask a question around, and I'm very conscious that the recruitment process is coming up now for the PCSP. Within the last term, we had went through our reserve independent members by the first probably about the first year and half, which sort of left us that there was a drop in the independent members on the partnership. It was just to check if there's been any discussions with the Department of Department of Justice about extending the list of independent members which can currently apply, so that they were not in that same sort of situation again.
Okay, thank you. Paul, do you
want to
come in there?
Thank you, Chair. Once again, the Assistant Director for Community Development isn't here this evening, but we'll take a note of that and we'll come back to you directly on that. Councillor Lewis, is that okay?
That's okay, yep, thank you.
Thank you. Let me see. Councillor Finn, you have a question on item 20?
Yeah, it was just in relation to the Ballybock Community Association in relation to the charges of, I think it's £247 a day, just if they had received clarity on what those charges were for, because I know certainly community groups within the area, obviously the work that they do is really important, and I think that that's, particularly in the cost of living crisis, quite a lot of money for them to be being charged.
Yeah, okay, so again, under community development, I'll get Assistant Director Ellie Robb to come back directly to you on that. I can only assume that the scale of charges associated with community centres is related to that, but it's a really good point. I understand where you're coming from in terms of cost of living, et cetera. So let me contact Alison Robb when she gets back and come back to you directly on that.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy, a comment on item number 22?
Yeah, it's just in relation to we would get lobbied by the council from time to time with regards to some of the events that they're putting on in the local community centres, and asked to share, you know, the poster. But it's just that it's sent in PDF file, you know, which is quite difficult, you know, for both ourselves. Like, there's other groups would send us which we can automatically share and get onto Facebook, but with PDF file, maybe it's just, I'm a bit of a caveman when it comes to this stuff, but yeah, well, there are loads of experience here, but You know, so if they could do it, you know, because it's very difficult for us then to let people know that need to know, you know, exactly what's on. And it's very difficult for the groups themselves to advertise as well to the local community. Simple thing, I think, but, you know, it's something that needs sorted out. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll raise that issue with Alison Robb as part of community development and certainly see what we can do in terms of resolving that. Sounds like it's something you got across the board councils are experiencing, so hopefully we can resolve that matter.
I don't think it's just a safeguarding issue, Declan. I think it's all right across the board. I think we're all in agreement with that. So, well, folks, if there's nothing else... Oh, sorry, Councillor... let me see, Lee Surgeon or Councillor Lewis, you're looking to second something. Was that Councillor Murphy? Okay. Take a note of that. Councillor Lee Surgeon, go ahead.
Oh, it's just in relation to that. For us tech guys, it's very easy. You need to do a screenshot and you crop in and that's it. But I think for make it simple for people, just simply do a screen grab with the PDF file and then convert it to PNG and then just send it to us and that's it. Or JPEG. And that's it. You know, so basically it's easier to have a store standards than for us to individually do it.
Thank you for that insightful information, Councillor Lee Turner. Like, I have been known to screenshot certain items myself and crop together, but look, it doesn't work all the time. But look, thank you for your contribution, much appreciated. Councillor Finnegan, are you looking back in on something else? You know how to screenshot, do you?
I just know how to screenshot, yes, I do. I would go one further. I hope you didn't make this point, Declan. I kind of zoned out for a minute there. I would go one further and say that it should go to the Facebook page of Newry Warren Down District Council. I know that the Facebook puts stuff out every day, but it's much easier if we can actually share to our story. And then it attracts people to actually the social media of the council, because we don't get much of a lift that I can see anyway. So I think that there should be more emphasis on social media now that we're living in days we are. Social media, everybody follows it, you know.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. You take that back, Paul. No problem. Perfect. Well, I don't think there's anything else on tonight's agenda. So that's us for August AHC meeting. Folks, thanks very much for your indulgence. It was a longer meeting than AHC normally is, Paul. Isn't that right? So, yeah. Stay at home, folks. Take care.